Welcome back, everyone, to GDC Live. I am your host, James Montemagno, and we're here for the very final live stream event, according to G over there. I got my good friend, Rogan. How's it going, Rogan?
Howdy, it's going well. Yeah. Having a great time at GDC.
It's crazy. Even today, last day, it's just people everywhere. So much good conversation. Even working in the booth a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
Nonstop. Like, I swear, I'm going to have a raspy voice by the end of this. It's nonstop. People are excited about VSTS. They want to learn about it. You know, a lot of them, you know, are just eager to give it a try when they get back. So yeah. I'm really pumped.
And we've talked a lot about VSTS on the live stream, more around source control, some builds and release. But you're here to talk about our work and planning inside
Absolutely, of VSTS.
So why does anyone, especially a developer, game developer, even a team manager, care about planning?
Well, I mean, planning is the root of everything, right? You know, you can try and, it's like going back to college, you can try and do some coding, you'll eventually lose track of what you need to do. Planning really gives you the ability to step back, figure out what you need to get done. And, you know, it doesn't have to be the waterfall method anymore. We live in a very agile world. Games don't ship in boxes. You know, as much as I loved it as a kid, going picking up a new game and opening it, new features are coming out every day almost for most big games. So having that planning board, so not only can you tell what am I shipping in the next 3 to 6 months, but like, if something becomes more important, I need to be able to kind of echo that to my developers.
Yeah.
Because that's the source of everything, you know, right from the work item.
It makes sense. You know, when I started development early on, I was really in that waterfall approach. And if people don't know waterfall, it's kind of, let's do all this development, then chuck it over to our test team. And now in Agile, we're constantly shipping new features. So I think it's really important when you think of a game. We just had the co-founder from Next Games talk about No Man's Land for the Walking Dead game, and they are shipping weekly updates.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what type of planning would go into something in this agile approach? Like, what are we planning? What are we doing on a
board? So, I mean, you're managing everything from the features that you're shipping to your customers down to the individual bits of stories that engineers pick up and the tasks they do to kind of get this out, and making sure you can coordinate it with all those team members to ship it. You know, with VSTS, we have a lot of great views to kind of help us out here. So
yeah,
if I pop back.
Inside of VSTS?
Yeah, so like right here, we have a couple great views. So this first one is the Kanban board. I think this is going to be really powerful because, especially for a lot of game developers, I don't think they follow some of the hardcore Scrum methodologies.
Yeah.
But the Kanban board is great for kind of implying like different states for a work item. Like a lot of times in games, you could have something that's in design. You have a graphics artist that has to work on assets. You can't really start making a map unless you have the assets for that map. And then trying to understand like, hey, is it in progress? And these are fully customizable up here as well. So you can tailor this to your needs. You know, you can even have little details here that can tell a developer or anyone working on this. You write it out, so if they're like, I'm not sure what pull request means, they can tell what that state is and actually kind of digest and understand it, and it really just helps you track it from end to end. And you can even add other cool features like the swim lane that we call it here.
Describe a swim lane, because I had never used a swim lane before and I wasn't 100% sure what it was. Because we have, let's talk first before we talk swim lanes, what we're actually seeing. So we have multiple lanes, I see new items, so I see new, committed, in progress. And what is the type of Kanban activity on a normal day-to-day? Like, kind of walk through the day of a developer using a Kanban board. What
Does absolutely.
That look
like? So most teams, and especially mine, you normally have the Kanban board up on a giant TV. We support live updates. It's actually what this little widget is up here. So if any of my colleagues touch any of the cards here, we'll actually see them move in real time without me touching anything.
Got it.
You kind of come in the morning, and this is really driven on stand-up, right? You go to stand-up, you talk about what you're working on, and then not only are you talking about it, but you can imply that state to your coworkers by moving it. It's better than like having that traditional, it's in progress. What does in progress really mean? There are different things. Is it in progress in the designer's hand? Is it in progress as in it's being coded? Is it in pull request?
Or,
you know, a lot of teams define done as in production in this case. So,
So you can decide, like, hey, you know, this says, you know, we're in progress, it's done, but it hasn't really been tested yet, and it's not actually shipped, because that's sometimes an important state is, what is the state of it? Is it in a branch? Is it in a fork? Is it in testing? Where is the state of it? And when I started with Scrum, we just had huge, you know, boards with sticky notes everywhere.
Oh, yes.
That was the original, this is how you Scrum, sticky notes. So it seems like this is sticky notes, but to the next level.
Yeah, and more environmentally friendly as well.
Yeah, but it seems like I'm also getting some additional information. Can you walk through what one of these cards has on it and why is that important?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can see right off the bat, we have a couple different colors on these cards, only for some of them. These are actually custom stylizations that you can do, which you wouldn't get with your sticky notes on the wall.
Yeah, you'd have to buy a lot of different colors.
Oh, I know, it would be a pain. I write like chicken scratch, so I don't think it would show up very well. But you can set this to do whatever you want. So I have this set up, so if something is in the next sprint, it'll show up as blue. If it's in the previous sprint, it shows up in red. So this could be a good indication to me that if we're in, you know, sprint 6 and this is supposed to be done in sprint 5 and it's sitting here, I can go, aha. This is red, it draws my attention. You can also do anything you want. You could say something is sitting in a column for too long. You could use it to show impediments. So, like, we can't add this feature to the game until this other feature's done. So we want to make sure no one goes and picks up a work item when it's still red because it's got a dependency that isn't done yet. So you're not going to get much work on it.
Can you set up essentially custom rules and regulations and have things automated?
Yeah, absolutely. It's fully customizable. So if I go to the settings here, you can set up. Cool. So you got the, you know, what work items show up on it, the styles, which relate to the coloring of the cards. And these just run off the query engine in VSTS. So you literally just come down here. I have a simple one. You can make this as complex as you want.
Yeah.
To like kind of represent everything. You can even stylize the tag colors. So sometimes people like the tag items, like engineering, game experience, impediment, blocked. You can have those show up as well.
There was one thing I did, which was I was experimenting with this feature, the colors. And I often have a lot of bugs, but I don't know what's really important. And I know that we have different like rules that this is critical, this is not. But at a high level, let's just say I have it up on the screen, which I think a lot of teams, I walk around campus in Redmond, I see just scrum boards everywhere, basically. But what I did is I said, based on the critical mass, if it's, you know, not too important, I would change the skew of red. So if it was like a bright, bright red, I'm like, we need to work on that right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought that was super cool because you can't do that in sticky note land. And also, what is cool here is that you can take this to any team and just be like, look what we're working on. You can send this to some of their manager, and I think the transparency there is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. And like, it works for any team. So if you're a team, like you said, you like to use colors to represent importance, that's fine.
Yeah.
If you want to use swim lanes like this, so it's always guaranteed to be at the top, it's great. So you can like work to any team. Like my team's Kanban board will be different than my coworker's Kanban board. And it just, you can make it fit to the team that you're on and like really utilize it.
So we keep saying swim lane, and I think anyone new to a we say Kanban board. And I think there's a lot of other companies that made Kanban boards that do a lot of things. But the first time I heard swim lane, I was like, I don't know what that means. So can you describe what is a swim lane? I know that we're looking at one.
Yeah.
But what is it and why would I want to use it?
So absolutely, swim lanes are a way to kind of get that vertical split on the Kanban board.
Okay.
To kind of differentiate, you know, two items might be in the same state. They might be in progress, but they might have different meanings to them. So my team, personally, we use swim lanes to represent major epics.
Okay.
So like, if we're working on an epic like food game or bar game, we would have separate swim lanes for each one so we could bucketize the work. They might all be fluidly through our columns. We can bucketize them there. Some teams will use them to represent importance because the beautiful part, swim lanes, you can reorganize them and you can make sure they're always at the top. Sometimes in this case, you know, you get a lot of items, you have to scroll down a little bit.
Yeah.
You can guarantee it's always going to be at the top. So it never kind of gets lost when you're doing your stand up to like, this is important. We need to be working on it.
I see. Got it. So I can see there's also different types of things on here. Can you kind of describe what all the different items, and there's like little sticky note looking things on here. What all else is happening?
Yeah, absolutely. So traditionally with VSTS, you can fully customize how work items, what type of work items you have. We have essentially a lovely inherited process thing where you can come in here and I can take default templates we've already created for you. So if you want to follow Agile, boom, go with that. Scrum, we follow the like, industry standards and you can actually modify them. But if I drill into one of these, you'll notice you can actually create as many work item types as you want. You can customize the fields on them. I can actually go as far as taking the bug here, and you can actually see I see a representation of what the item looks like. And if I'm not happy with the default template, let's say I don't like severity for some reason, I can go and modify this template, actually inherit it, create my own version of Agile. Remove fields, add fields. I can use our extensibility in the marketplace to add like custom tabs and tasks
to
there. And then I can go ahead and switch my project to use this new template. and there I go. So there's a lot of customizability there. But essentially, on this, you can show, we have the blue cards are going to be user stories. So it's like units of work that a developer would pick up. And some teams like to include bugs on the Kanban board because bugs are work.
It's work. At the end of the day. To get done, yeah.
Some teams treat them as like separate debt. Some teams like to treat them as, you know what, if we had too many bugs, we can't pick up new stories.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing in this case. We put the bugs on the board, and there we are. Some teams also like to use tasks, you know, and you know, there's a Kanban board view at a task level.
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes when you're at the user story level, I use this personally, you just want to talk about the user story, but an engineer can be like, well, there's two tasks here. Yesterday I actually finished this first task.
Yeah, so it's even progress, essentially.
Yeah, it's even a deeper level of granularity kind of being represented on the board.
Yeah, I like it when we have when we do bigger stories, we have a set of requirements that go into it. You know, did I write documentation for this? Did I write the samples? And to finish a story, I need to do all this other stuff even to get that PR
Absolutely.
In there. So it seems like here I don't even need to drill down even further into that story. It's just all at my fingertips.
Yeah, it's right here for you to do. And you can customize what shows up too. So if you don't want tasks to show up, you don't want tags to show up, you can strip these down to very small, lightweight cards that maybe just show the title. Or you can have them have all this information if you don't want to click to open a particular work item, like this one right here.
So once you click on it, now we're seeing our full overall view. So can you go over what's all in this thing?
Yeah, sure. So this is fully customizable. It's one of the beautiful parts of extensibility in this product.
Sounds like VSTS, and especially work items, it seems like a real focus has been on extensibility.
Yeah.
And it sounds like because, like you're saying, it's like, well, how did a team use this? Well, it's like every team uses it different. So
Absolutely.
You almost need to come in and whatever your team is comfortable with, you can customize it like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't have to do any, you can make this very lightweight and like pick it up and in 10 minutes be doing this and add on as you need it.
Got it.
A lot of the extensibility really came from, we're trying to standardize all of Microsoft on the VSTS. Minecraft uses VSTS, 343 uses VSTS. And we really wanted, it wasn't scalable for us as a dev team to make new features to them all the time. Where we said, why don't we give them the ability to make these features and they could even contribute it back to a marketplace.
Got
where
it.
Anyone can download it.
Yeah.
But one of the things I love on here is, you know, planning seeps into all aspects of the DevOps pipeline. On the development side of things here, developers can link their actual work, builds, and pull request artifacts right in here to this work item. So without me having to go talk to an engineer or bother them, outside of stand-up, I can tell, look, they've done a commit, they've done a few pull requests, I can see the status of it, I can even see that the build's been run and what the status of the build was.
Cool.
And this extends all throughout the product. So I can go all the way to a release, work back to the work item. It's the source of truth.
Yeah.
Work item to a release.
It's that traceability from start to finish of,
it's huge.
All right, this one actually did take this long, and this is what all went into it.
Yeah.
Because often you think it's just one or two little tasks, but it ends up being way more work, and you have a lot more review going in on it. It seems like there's a bunch of other tabs on there, too. So inside of there,
what else
is all in there?
These are the default ones. So with every work item, you know, a lot of customers want state and history changes.
Oh, wow.
So for audibility, I can actually go here. Now, this one is the one I used for a demo. So it's been brought out of completion back to in
back
progress a lot. But like you can tell like what was the path that this has taken. Sometimes a work item actually does get completed, and we have to revert it back because we missed something in it. So it's good to see that. I can understand the changes that have been made.
And who did it.
Yep. You can actually link items to them as well. So when you're talking about game development, not only can I link related work items and commits, but you can also go ahead and attach files. So if you have like a mock-up spec of what something should look like, a design doc, you can attach it right here so an engineer can pick it up, open up the design doc and go, okay, now I understand what you want me to create. Because it's really hard when you're like, make the game fun in the description, or make this level or add this character, and it's really hard to get that across, but you can just go ahead and add your design doc right to the work item itself.
Oh, that's really nice, yeah. So you really group it all together, keep it all together, so when someone's working on it, or 2 years from now, 4 years from now, you can go back and all that data's there.
Yeah, it's all here, never goes away. And that's the beautiful part of VSTS, we hold on to it for you, so.
Nice. Now, a lot of this stuff seems to me like a high level, seems like the state of progress of my game. Are there like dashboards, some other visualization of this data at all?
Absolutely. So, I mean, just in the work item space alone, if I minimize this out here, we have other views that you can use to pivot on this data.
So you were kind of in a high level zoomed in mode.
That was interesting. So it wants me to sign in again. Anyways, we have a planning board here.
Okay.
This is another view of the data as well. So this one's really good for like multiple team planning. So VSCS, it works for one team, your small indie development. It works for, you know, 25 plus, 30, 100 teams. And this is great because I can come through and not every team is going to have sprints that match up. So in this case, yeah. I'm lucky my two teams do. But if we had an important conference like GDC and we're going to announce something, I want to make sure all the work is lined up for this. I can use this view to kind of visualize this data. So I can actually come in and say, all right, I know that all these teams need to be done at this certain sprint to actually ship things for GDC so we can make it. And if it's going to be a problem, I can know it now instead of later.
Yeah, can you kind of talk about how the VSTS team is structured and how we use our own VSTS tools to plan releases?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's a cool story.
Oh, it is. It's kind of like the movie Inception in some part. We're using VSTS to develop VSTS. But we have teams based in three locations, Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina, Redmond, Washington, Hyderabad, India. Effectively, each individual software engineering team is represented as a team and a project here. So you can imagine in this case, I have two teams, but instead we would have this amplified out to like...
There's like 30, 40,
20, 25 teams. It's growing every day. I kind of lose track. I've run out of fingers and toes to count them with, though. And each team, the beauty of this is, like, in the Agile world, we're autonomous. So, like, we all follow different processes, but we all use the same templates, which means at the end of the day, we all use features, we all use user stories and tasks, like those items we've seen there. And then when I go and talk with my manager, we have a planning board view where he can go, okay, I want to see all three of the teams that I run kind of viewed on one planning board. And then we can go through and he can see, I can see what they're delivering in Sprint 6, I can see what my other team and the other one are delivering in Sprint 6. And then it goes up another level when a leadership member's like, I want to see what's going on for all teams in North Carolina. Yeah. They can very quickly create a planning view to do this. And we do this day in and day out, especially on our Agile teams. I know that they have plans where they can see everything at a story level, everything at a feature level. And we really use that to like collaborate. But at the same time, when you get down to the individual team, like Kanban boards or backlog, we manage things kind of our own way, our own style. Every team's a little different. And that flexibility, yeah. I mean, we're not using any special switches or anything. Customers can do that today, and some customers already have done that.
Yeah.
So
it seems really, really nice if you're kind of the PM or the product or program manager of that team, because now I can see what all of my team but every other team is doing, especially as you have these very large products that come out. Maybe a game, but as you start, that game grows, and as your company grows, you get more teams doing more things, and you want to make sure that work isn't duplicated.
Absolutely.
One thing that I can see here is, oh, well, you know, someone is updating the ship, but what if someone else already did or is doing that on another team?
Absolutely.
You might like steal a designer for a little bit, and we thought, oh, we needed this, but also design was doing it. So it seems like in the single view, I can see, oh, well, I did that last sprint, you know, or I'm planning it for next sprint. Let's sync up.
Yeah, and these are great for those kind of conversations. Like, we do this all the time regularly because code duplication is just a waste of time when one team's already done it. So you can very easily see if we're both trying to ship, like the same type of character type, we know that, okay, one team can actually have capacity to go do something else now.
Yeah. So what other type of planning tools are built into VSTS here?
Absolutely. So we have our traditional product backlog, which this is really the bread and butter for the people that love Scrum. So those that, like, they go and assign these story points, which they could be representations of, like, any amount of effort. It could be hours. You could just give it a score of out of 10.
Yeah.
It's yours to choose. But the beautiful part about this is if you're a very disciplined Scrum team and you have an idea of how many points your team can take on during a sprint, you can actually use forecasting in VSTS.
Oh,
I just
cool.
clicked right here, and I say, you know what? Maybe my team can only handle 4 points per sprint. Like, we lost an engineer went out on leave.
Yeah, yeah.
Things changed. I can do this, and it's automatically going to recalculate. You know, I don't have to follow it, but it can kind of help me figure out, like, you know, okay, I could reasonably fit this amount of work here into this sprint, or, you know, this sprint looks like we have some really complicated tasks, so we really should only be taking on two things.
Or maybe we can break it down into smaller tasks.
Right.
Often we see really large stories come up, and you can see, like, well, in this first sprint, we're doing like four or five things, and this one we got two because I got a 6 and a 4 in my points. But really what we should be doing is maybe breaking those down into small.
Yeah, and maybe parts. We need to say like, well, this is actually going to be a multiple sprint effort, so we need to break these into separate stories. Then we find we can take on other things, like maybe adding a better description to the game that we can see is in sprint 8. Maybe that then is able to be done in an earlier sprint without actually sacrificing any quality or velocity on the team itself.
Now, let's just say you're like me, where I'm often just working on a project by myself, and I don't have time for story points and iteration paths and tags, and can I just turn off everything and just like give me a list of stuff? Is that possible?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, when you come into VSTS by default, this will be off.
Yeah.
Story points want to be here. You just click right here, make a new work item, click add, it's added there. You don't have to use any of the levels. You don't have to go muck around with modifying the processes.
Yeah.
You can just create stories. And I do this personally when I do my own game development on the side. I just create a couple stories. I don't bother putting them in sprints. I don't bother putting them in boards.
Yeah.
I just come here and I go, I just drag them up and down. And I go, this one's more important. I'm going to drag it up here. All this market is in progress, so I can remember myself where it is. And then I'll mark it as done when I'm done. And then I can see it all from here, and it's lightweight. That took me 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's nice. It's nice to know that there's, yes, there are a lot of features. There's a lot of things that you can do, but it's customizable. So if you want to strip it down to the bare minimum, I'm like, I'm a taskless person. I'm just like, let me just crush this. I like to reorder. I'm just like, what's the most important? Because if it's at the top, it's probably there for a reason. What other charts and graphs do we have built in here?
We got tons. I don't have all of them enabled in this account. So we have like your traditional cumulative flow. This one is great for kind of understanding like, you know, inflow of work versus work done. You can clearly tell on my demo account here, I'm getting way more work coming in over my sprint than I'm actually finishing.
Yeah.
But if I were to look at like a more normal account, you would actually expect that bottom portion, the in production or done, to be the majority of the graph. Otherwise, you know you've got some kind of an unhealthy state where you're taking in way too much work into a given sprint than you're actually able to complete. We can get burn down views as well, which are great for like from the start of the sprint to see hours being done versus work being done. And the goal is you should hit zero at the very end. I mean, you did all your work for the sprint.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So yeah, it's very powerful. And you can put this all into a dashboard view as well.
Oh, cool.
And then visualize that for your team. And if you want to not have the combo board on the TV, you can have that dashboard on the TV as well and have it show charts just like this.
Yeah, because maybe you're just, you know, numbers or little boxes aren't good for you. You're like, I really need the visualization of today I see a lot of green and that's really good, or red and custom queries. Can you talk about queries a little bit? I know you mentioned them.
Yeah,
a little
absolutely.
Bit. What that actually means, I see there's a little star up there, so that's intriguing.
Yeah. So actually, what's going on here is the queries are actually in a preview right now. We'll see if it's cooperating with me of not having to sign in again.
Perfect.
There we go. So I don't have any queries, favorited queries here, but if I switch to all queries, there's some queries by default. The reason the star is there is to kind of indicate that it's a preview feature. So when you're using VSTS, we have a lot of awesome new features that are coming out, and we know some people just don't want to be on the cutting edge.
I turn them all on and say, give me all the features.
I do that too. I want it all the time.
Yeah.
But you can go in there and turn it on. So effectively, we're kind of revamping some of the views in our work, in our Agile area to make this a little more modern and fit with a consistent style. So what I've done here is I've just turned on the new query view. And that's why there's a star there. It's just an indication that, like, hey, if you're running into issues, it is a preview feature.
Yeah.
You can go ahead, turn it off if you want to. Otherwise, you know, we would love your feedback.
Yeah.
If you run into anything. But yeah, queries are just great. They're based on this language called Wickle. So if I just go like active bugs here, and then I can actually go to the editor. I have no bugs, which is great.
That's always good.
I always love it. I mean, it's really just a giant. I kind of imagine it as a giant if and or kind of coming in here. You just add a new line, and then based on any data field in your work items. When we looked at that, we had all those fields.
Yeah.
I can go and just pick one of those items, like activated date, and then I can say, hey, what about greater than? And then I can go ahead and I actually pick a day. And we have some like pre-built ones, so I could be like, what are all my bugs from today to the last 7 days? And now I can have this query. I can save it as a separate query. I can pin it to my dashboard as well.
That's cool.
If I want to have this like a little widget so we can get the active number of bugs in the query or a different widget that gives you a preview of what's in it, you know, that's all great too. Like I could probably change this story type to, let's go ahead feature, and I'm just going to drop this one here because I know I haven't added anything new in the 7 days. I can go ahead and run this. And you can see it just returns me the results here. And, you know, it's a great way to kind of splice, and you have a question of, like, especially if you have tags on some of these things. Like, let's say you had engineering framework tags to indicate maybe game engine changes versus front-end features, and then you're talking with your manager or other team members, and like, well, how much debt do we have in the game engine framework portion of our work versus, like, customer features, game features? You could quickly write a query based on those tags to kind of pull that information out, and then you can see, wow, we've got a lot of debt going on in the framework portion of things. We've been focusing a lot on features, but, you know, we might actually start to be hampered later on by the fact we don't have this back-end support. So we might want to change up what we're doing, and again, that agile world, pivot on what we're doing sprint to sprint, and invest more in the framework space.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, what else do we have when, you know, we have a Kanban board, we have customization. As my team grows, there may be some learning that goes on. Do we have anything to kind of help learn this progress that the team can collaborate on
as
well?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the best things here is going to be the wiki. And that's just letting me know if I want to
save that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to save that one. I like the no bug one.
Yeah.
You know, I don't write bugs in my code. but I kind of have a wiki page here. You know, I have a very simple wiki one where this actually just describes the game that I was demoing at GDC for my talk, Galactic Dodge. You can actually download it as an extension too for VSTS. So if you sign up, please download it.
Yeah.
It's a fun little game.
Nice.
But like a lot of onboarding docs, you know, here, if you're like, hey, we want to add a new page and say that this is like, how to add code to the game, and maybe you write, and it's fully Markdown supported, so I can like use the standard bold text for Markdown, and I can get the live preview there, and you can just start adding it, and it's just like any wiki. So if we have a set of processes, and like, hey, this is how you get started coding on the game, you're a new employee, and that changes.
Yeah.
Though the new employee can go edit this wiki, and we can have as many pages as we want here.
And it's
really
nice because it's
powerful.
Also living side by side, all your work,
absolutely,
all your code, everything that you possibly
we'll
need.
We'll discard those changes.
And sometimes the onboarding is the hardest experience to say, I always like to think, anytime I ask someone how to do something, I'm going to go document that.
Right.
Because I need to go back and do it. We have some scripts that need to be run to generate documentation for us. Well, I don't want to magically have that on my desktop. I want everyone to know how to generate docs.
Yeah, absolutely.
It seems like we're wiki.
I mean, and this enables it. And we use this ourselves where it's processes are changing all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, a new person starts. And if someone runs into a little bit of a struggle because something changed and it wasn't updated, they can make that change themselves. And then the next person says 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and it's more effective. We also have one other view that's kind of useful here. So if I go to the home page for my project, and this is very traditional, like if you go to GitHub, the README file, it lives in your repo. GitHub kind of lives and breathes by this. We have support for it as well. This file is checked right into your repo along with all your other code, and it's the first thing people see when they land on here. Like, I can see some activity on the side, but if you want to be like, hey, go check out the wiki, that's where you're going to find this out. Or if you're this game's simple enough, I can just have
put it all there.
A couple lines, I can put it all there, and then I don't have to worry about like having a multi-page wiki. I can bring that in later when we've grown and it gets more complex, and having everything in a README might not be the best way to scale.
Yeah, very cool. Anything else you want to show off? Everything good? What do you think?
No, I think we covered a lot of stuff
here.
You know, it's amazing how many things we have for like managing your backlog for your game here in VSTS.
Yeah. I really like it. It's all really pretty, and I like the interactions and the collaborative part of it, because even if it's just James working on a game, I still need to manage my work. And as my team grows and my game grows, it seems like we have every single thing that developers need. And managers too, so.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'm program manager, so I live, eat, breathe in the work items. I do code from time to time. I get that itch, jump in there and help the engineers out. But yeah, it makes my job easy. I literally, once I had everything set up, didn't take me very long for my team. I spend maybe 10 minutes a week at the end of the week, just kind of like doing things on top of our traditional stand-ups, of course.
Yeah.
But I don't have to spend a lot of time managing it, but yet we know exactly what's going on. I can convey that to my managers. And, you know, like I said, this scales. If you're just an indie developer working 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people, it's great. Actually, VSTS is free for up to 5 people. So if you're an indie game developer, you know, free is free.
All is free.
Yep. Zero overhead.
Yeah.
Can't beat that.
That's what I like. Go to visualstudio.com, sign up. It's free. Check it out. And not only do you get work, builds, tests, deploy, all the goodies that we've been talking about here live at GDC. Well, Rogan, thank you so much for joining me.
No problem. Yeah. Happy to do it.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll be back over at GDC Live.